from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Let's get a Tuesday started right. Let's get a ding and some applause for our terrific engineering team. Shout out to... shout out to Jonathan. He didn't help. He was no help today. Seth, however, is the man. He got us back up and running. A couple of technical issues to start the day, James. But you're good to go now.
Yeah, I had like the blue screen of death. I don't know what was happening.
Yeah, so what we typically do is we prepare outside of the studio. Mm-hmm. Because we got to be in here for a couple hours. So we like to sit out amongst the people, and sometimes people will drop by, you know, chit-chat or whatever. So that's what we try and do, is be out in the lobby, kitchen area, break area as much as possible. Open concept office, by the way. So we don't get in here until there's like 20 minutes until the show. And then we're getting set up, final touches, we're printing stuff out, you know, seeing just if there's any news you need to get to, anything like that. And usually I fire up the board and we've got the stream fired up and we just add ourselves to that. And then we go live and we're good to go. Well, today, James, you had the... blue screen of death?
I did. I had the blue screen of death, and then it became the black screen of death, and I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Right, so you moved computers briefly.
Yeah, I was set up in the corner.
Which would have thrown off the whole thing, to be honest.
Well, nobody puts James in the corner.
No, except for D'Lo and KC when you're in studio with them. But no, so that's what I was preparing. I'm like, man, I'm so used to, because I have, when I'm sitting here, and sorry to our people listening on 1320, I'll try and paint the picture with words as much as I can here, and shout out to everybody listening there on the free Odyssey app and everybody on YouTube and Twitch. We appreciate y'all immensely, even when you're starting stuff on the internet. So I have a like routine here where I'm looking at you, mm-hmm. and then I'm checking the clock, and I'm looking like, see, today I messed up. I didn't do the log the way it needs to be done. I'm looking at the clock here. I'm looking at the stream to make sure I've got social media up. I'm looking at the rundown. I'm checking our recording. I just have a process of things I'm constantly checking. And if I had to change, because now I can just look directly at you and my eye movements are here to check the clock, there to check the clock. I can check our stream to the right because I look up and to the right for a clock. I have a clock down to my left. That's where our stack is, which tells us what spots are going to play, what commercials are going to play. And I had a whole routine. If you were sitting over there, if you were sitting to my left, it would have really thrown me off. I would not have liked it.
Yeah. I mean, the spot is fine. I'm used to sitting over there because I've sat over there for many years now.
Of course.
Helping out. But yeah, it's just like a panic mode and trying to get everything done and like trying to, you know, scramble. And the audio is a little weird over there in your ears.
Yeah, the headphone jack needs to be replaced.
Yeah, but I've also found that the headphone jack, if you use the big... We have 2 headphone jacks, so people don't know. There's one that looks like the one you'd plug into, like, a Walkman.
Right, right, yes.
And then there's a big one, which is like a...
It's a quarter-inch.
Quarter-inch jack, right there, right-ish. Well, the quarter inch jack one is messed up over there, but I always use the smaller, like Walkman type, or like what you used to be able to plug into your phone, which you can't do it anymore. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Come on. We're back.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Troy in the chatty house, and we appreciate you immensely, Troy. Thank you for dropping in. Said, I feel like if, he said, Kyle, I feel like if you delegate one task to James, you can relax. Well, that the thing is this is all stuff on my end. James goes and picks up the rundowns in the mornings when I print those out.
Well,
everything else is stuff I have to set up on my side of the computer.
On that side. Yeah, that, and yeah. We also have, like, I always start the stream every day, because if we both try to start the stream, you could actually start it and stop it and then mess everything up.
Yeah.
So we have certain things, like it's my job to make sure that we have our overlay here and and everything. Like, there's something, I used to be in here by myself, so I would have to turn everything on, turn all the TVs
on. It was a whole process.
Yeah. Now it's all different.
Yeah.
Yep.
Much easier now. All right. Let's do our show. let's be responsible adults. I'll get everything else fixed.
We were nearly sidetracked.
Yeah. No, we're good. We're back on track. We had some Kings news yesterday.
Yeah,
we got NBA conference finals starting tonight. We'll continue our journey through the league. We'll go to the Southeast Division and look at each team in that division and players the Kings could target this offseason. We'll have some good or bad idea. And, of course, plenty of conference finals talk with Pacers and Celtics tonight. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320 at 4:30. But some Kings news yesterday, James, on the coaching front.
Yeah, the Kings have lost an assistant slash player development coach. Davidas Dolkes has left to join Jordy Fernandez's staff.
Damn.
We talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago when Jordy got the job, that there were two, from what I knew, two coaches that were at least like in the running for spots on Jordy's staff. Mm-hmm. This is a really good thing for Dolkes. It gives him an opportunity to bump up. To go from, like, again, a player development slash assistant to a true assistant. I don't know if he'll be front of the bench or back of the bench in Brooklyn, but this is definitely a good move for him and his family. So shout out to him. And, you know, he's got a wife and kids here. He's super, super close with Luke Laux. They played together at Florida State. Their wives are super close. Their families are super close. So this was a tough decision. But good for him to go get a better opportunity to sort of move up the ranks, especially when you look at the Kings front of the bench and just how that's going to be pretty solid for a few years.
What does this mean for Sacramento now?
It means that they have a second coaching staff opening. But again, most of the openings that have kind of popped up are what we call back of the bench. So you have front row coaches. I think you're allowed three assistants on the front row with the head coach. Jay Triano, Doug Christie, and Luke Laux will be front of the bench. And then you have the second layer. So guys like Leandro Barbosa, Dutch Gailey, like they'll have to bring in at least one more guy. But they also have a young guy that I think a lot of people think really highly of in Jawad Williams. I believe is sticking around, and that's a good thing. Like, he's a solid, like, it looks like he's an up and coming guy. So that's good. They can fill roles. Maybe they go to the G League. Maybe they bring in someone from the outside. But you know, you can't have enough development coaches, especially if you have young players.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one of the things that comes up a lot with the 49ers, because they constantly lose coaches.
Oh yeah,
it's every year there's two or three or four coaches going to get either head coaching jobs or coordinator jobs or just moving up in the ranks. It's ultimately a good thing. It means you're doing something right. It means you're doing something right. Jordy Fernandez getting hired off the Kings bench to be a head coach is like, that's they have to replace him. That's going to be an obstacle this offseason. But at the same time, that is much better than you're firing coaches and you're getting an entirely new coaching staff. And nobody wants to touch the people on your coaching staff because the team is a disaster.
Yes.
So all in all, big picture, the fact that this is a discussion point is a good thing.
Well, no, it's a very good thing. Like, it's an honor to have one of your assistants get a head coaching job in the NBA. I mean, this is Mike Brown's coaching tree. I think it's really cool, like, to see his coaching tree expanding.
Oh, for sure.
And when you have a coach that's there and goes and leaves, it's expected that he'll take one or two guys. They typically don't got the staff unless somebody ends up getting fired after they leave and it's like, okay, do you want to pick up some of the other guys that got cut loose? But, you know, I think it is, it should be known that like when a coach signs his contract with a team, with an NBA team, it comes with the ability to sign to hire and fire your own coaching staff. It's something that all head coaches have built into their contract.
And that's
a good thing. It allows them to be comfortable and with who they have around them. So yeah, it's just a really good opportunity here for a young coach who's up and coming for in Dulkey's to go get a better opportunity to sort of, you know, progress and move up.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a conversation that Jordy Fernandez and Mike Brown have had long before Jordy Fernandez got hired.
Oh yeah.
When he first got an inkling that he was going to be interviewed, that's a discussion that goes on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you got to remember that...
No huge surprises here for Mike Brown, I'm sure.
Yeah, he started as, like, Mike Brown's son's, like, personal coach and a personal assistant to Mike Brown. Jordy did. And then he was hired by the Cavs, and then he's moved his way up, and then he spent 5 years on Michael Malone's staff in Denver.
Man.
Yeah, Jordy's a, like, very smart up-and-coming coach that, you know, we'll see what happens there in Brooklyn. That's... You never want to take over a team that's totally unsettled and doesn't know what direction they're going. But, you know, there's only 30 jobs, man. And, you know, when one comes up, he's been sort of the name that's been mentioned the last, like, two summers.
Yeah.
It's good to see him go get the job and go see what he can do.
And get it, like, and I don't want to do a whole thing on Jordy Fernandez, but not taking a Charlotte job.
Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn's in at least got some desirable players.
No, I totally agree. So. Yeah, and some players that fit who Jordy is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I know a lot of people are like, hey, you know, let's go get Mikal Bridges. And Jordy's like, I'm a defensive-minded coach. That would suck.
Taking the head coaching job, and then the first thing the team does is, hey, all of these good players who might fit what you want to do, yeah, we're going to ship them out.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, I remember, like, Dave Yeager's first year as a coach in Sacramento.
Yeah.
Like, he has this totally veteran team. Uh-huh. Like, the whole team is, it's, you know, all kinds of veterans. You know, Rudy Gay and DeMarcus and, like, Collison and Costa Kufis. And, like, you just keep going. It's probably, like, 12 veterans on the team, right? Mm-hmm. The next year, they made the trade for Buddy Hield and DeMarcus Cousins going out. But they also picked up... they had three first-round picks, the number 5, the number 15, the number 20. They had an early second-round pick where they took Frank Mason. They brought over Bogdan Bogdanovic from overseas. And they had three first-round picks a year before. So all of a sudden, you have all of these. You had 9 first- and second-year players.
Yeah.
After having the year before, having an entire veteran squad.
Good luck.
And then by year 3, he turned it around, and that team was super fun and crazy and running up and down the court.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's sort of the life cycle of a head coach. You never know what you're going to get.
Does this year's Pacers still remind you of that team?
Yeah, it does. It very much does. Like, they went out and got a really, really good
seasoned
vet. They did. And that guy is going to help carry you through. But I don't know. Like, it's a good team.
Also, on top of that, I don't think the Pacers are getting past a fully healthy Bucks team. So,
well, or a fully healthy Knicks team
in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
We had some more Kings news yesterday, courtesy of friend of the program, Fox 40, Sean Cunningham. We will get to that. It's NBA draft related.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. I didn't think we would have any draft related news leading up to the draft, but we got some yesterday from Fox 40, Sean Cunningham. We will talk about that next. We've got the Eastern Conference Finals starting tonight, 4:30 p.m. Coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320 between the Pacers and the Celtics. Do the Pacers have any kind of shot in that series? We will talk about it. And, of course, we will continue exploring the Kings offseason with the Southeast Division. Magic, Heat, Hawks, Hornets, and Wizards. That sounds like a fantasy novel. Hey, lock into the latest... I don't have a good fantasy novel name. I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but that's taken, I heard. Magic, Heat, Hawks, Hornets, and Wizards. We will dive into those teams and discuss which players the Kings could target this offseason from those squads. That's all coming up on The Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we are hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to four. And a reminder, tonight, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, the Pacers visit the Celtics. We'll have coverage of that for you right here on ESPN 1320, beginning at 4:30. Before we get to that stuff, though, and before we get to the Kings offseason, we had some NBA draft news yesterday via Fox 40's Sean Cunningham, who reported via a league source that the Sacramento Kings met with 10 projected lottery picks during last week's NBA Combine in Chicago. Interviews included Donovan Clingan, Dalton Knecht, Jared McCain, Alex Saar, Jacoby Walker, and Cody Williams. What stuck out to you about this news, James?
I think the biggest thing that sticks out is that they sat down with some of the top guys in the draft. And that's always intriguing. Like, why are... I mean, I get why you interview a Clingan or Alex Saar, mm-hmm, if they'll come over and talk to you. Like... that, but those guys are going in the top three or four.
Maybe.
Well, that's true. Maybe. That's true.
I think, to me, in this year's draft, you just can't take anything for granted.
No, I agree you can't. But I also, when you look at, I just think it's interesting. And I think a lot of teams, I'll explain. So it used to be that the Kings would have like so many draft prospects into Sacramento and we would be there every single day. Again, right, we talked about this one day. I went to, I think it was 99... We saw 99 different players one year. So
that's one short of 100, James.
Yeah, we were there all the time. Well, but they had over 100 work out. It's just that Kyle Guy came back three times. Kyle Guy kept coming back. One time they called him
not
and said...
Not even invited. Yeah, not no, even invited. He just showed up.
They called him. They said, hey, are you still in town? He's like, I'm at the airport. They're like, hey, we just had somebody cancel for a prospect workout. You want to come back in? He's like, heck yeah. Jumped right off out of the airport, came right back and worked out again. And it proved like a really smart move by him. He was able to get drafted in the second round by the Kings and able to make some NBA money before now he's overseas playing and very well overseas.
Good for him.
Yeah, but the reason why you do this, it's very specific because the NBA is a really small world. And between the G League and between like trades that could happen down the road, you want to get your hands on as many players as possible. Sit down, talk to them, take them out to dinner, have honest discussions, watch them in your gym on your court, do as much research as possible because you may have an opportunity not to get somebody this year or next year, but maybe 4 years down the road, there's a trade and somebody says, hey, there's like, we're going to offer, you know, it's two big names, but there's also these, we need to match salary. We need, yeah, to throw in one of these young guys. Which one do you want? The more of these guys that you know, mm-hmm, and have a good feel for, the better.
Yes.
And so that's why it's a good thing to do this because who knows how Alex Saar's like career works out. Maybe there's a point 3 years from now, 5 years from now, mm-hmm, where he's really good and you're like, man, not only is he really good, but we loved his interview. And you go out and you make a move for him.
Yeah.
So these things kind of matter. And
definitely. Yeah. And it's not like they because if I'm interpreting Sean's reporting correctly here, they met with them at the combine.
Yeah.
They didn't fly them out for private workouts or anything like that necessarily.
No.
And maybe they will. I don't know. But meeting with them at the combine, like that's a huge reason you go.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about this with the NFL combine all the time. There's a bunch of head coaches and GMs that don't even go. But the ones who do and the coaching staffs that do go and the scouts who do go, it's all about the interviews. It's the medicals and it's the interviews. And getting FaceTime with these guys for... maybe they slip in the draft. Maybe it's what you're talking about. There's just no harm in getting FaceTime with any prospect.
No, totally. And I think if you're an agent who has a young prospect, like you could say no. Say, nah, we'll pass because you're not in our range.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. But I think there's something about, like if anyone has gone through and they graduate from college and they go to a bunch of interviews before their senior year or, you know, to go get an internship or whatever. It's good to take as many interviews as possible because you get more and more comfortable with sort of the process. And you could not hit it off with a certain group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that happens all the time where you walk out of an interview, I think anyone who's gone in for a job interview, you walk out and you're like, I really didn't care for the way that I was interviewed, right?
Totally.
And then you go to the next interview and you're like, oh man, well, that guy was totally cool.
Yeah.
Well, that buzz also happens around NBA circles where somebody could say, well, I don't think he interviewed very well. And then another GM could say, put it out there, like, man, we had a great time with that kid. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you just asked the wrong questions. Mm-hmm. So it does help to actually go through the process and you know, get as much information as possible. And also, like, give a little bit more of yourself in each of these interviews.
Do you read into it at all? Because this is my initial, I saw this report from Sean, Fox 40, Sean Cunningham, shout out.
Fox 40s.
There
you go.
Thanks. My knee-jerk reaction to this was, is one of these guys going to fall? Is there like word around the league that Klingon might drop to 13?
Okay.
Or are the Kings considering a trade up? Like, that was the first, and then, you know, you start to think about it and it's like, well, that would be kind of silly. But is that in any realm a possibility in your mind?
I mean, there's always
something.
I ruled
it out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that, like, moving up into the top three of this draft, unless it's really, really inexpensive, mm-hmm. like, that there's not really a reason. But I'd point out, like, the guys that Sean mentioned, so Jared McCain, Alex Arr, Jacoby Walter, Cody Williams, and Klingon and Dalton Connect. Jacoby Walker is scheduled, like, on Tankathon. He's projected to go number 10. Mm-hmm. Dalton Connect, number 12. Cody Williams, number 13.
Yeah.
Jared McCain, number 15. These are all right around where you're drafting,
right. Except
for the couple of guys at the top. And it's good. It's really good for the Kings to put it out there, if that's who did it, that they got two of the top guys. Because
yeah.
It's like, hey, look, we're still in the conversation. We can still talk to those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I just kind of wonder if, you know, we're putting together this list of names that they could conceivably target this offseason, whether it's through free agency or trade. And I just kind of wonder if they are thinking there might be more value if they can't go out and swing a deal for a significant player, if there might be value in the draft in going. And I know the draft comes first, but if they're calling around and they're talking to people and they're just kind of getting the idea like, man, we're not going to be able to be competitive for any of these top guys, maybe it's better to just try and jump up and get the best player we can in the draft. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe I'm way overthinking it, but that's the thing here that sticks out.
Well, that, and what if one of these two bigs do, if you project them to fit perfectly next to Domantas Sabonis? Like, you probably don't want to wait the two to 3 years. I think Klingon can come right in and block shots, right?
Sure.
And be fine in the pick
maybe
and roll.
Walker Kessler?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he can walk in and do exactly what Walker Kessler did in year one. I think Alex Hart is going to take a little more time to, like, settle in.
Yeah.
Like, he can put up stats, but that doesn't mean he's actually going to be a productive, like
yeah,
player
fit,
that
fit
helps
with
you
what
win.
The Kings need.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
for sure.
As much as what they need, as much as their timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Jacoby Walter is my favorite name here.
Okay.
I think. I might just be anchoring to the fact that he went to the Kings, and I think it was ESPN's latest mock.
Okay.
But that's the name that jumped out the most.
Yeah, I mean, I think him and Dalton Connect, he's one of those guys. Cody Williams, again, we're looking a little bit older freshman, like his draft age is 19.5.
Yeah.
But 6'7 and three quarters, you know, he's got some upside. And Jared McCain, again, point guard, shooting guard, like kind of a
but again,
Malik Monk-esque.
A player we've been doing and what we're going to do next, we're going to do, you know, starter, bench upgrade, or flyer of all these of all these players from teams in the Southeast.
Yeah.
I think if you can find somebody that you think is a bench upgrade in year one, who might be, okay, maybe he's 9th or 10th, but he can give you 12 to 15 good minutes by the time the playoffs roll around.
Yeah.
I don't hate that idea. So, NBA draft. We'll continue talking about it whenever news comes up. Right here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Let's continue our journey through the NBA. We are going to go to the Southeast Division. The Magic, the Heat, the Hawks, the Hornets, and the Wizards. What players are on those teams that the Kings could target either via trade or free agency? We'll talk about it next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We are clear.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Somebody just told me to ask or to look up a player in an overseas league. And I know somebody who is very, very familiar with that league. And that person is not a huge fan of the player.
Oh. Well, okay. I know at least one of the names you're talking about. We got into this discussion yesterday about names that we know, like things I may have made a rhymes with like statement about it. I'm like, who are we talking about here? And then I figure out who we were talking about and may have like made something that rhymes with that player's name.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you don't want to talk about a player directly,
yeah,
you don't want to throw a player under the bus. You just pick a name. You just make up a name. Like pick, I don't know, like Harrison Barnes. Like you just make up a
name. Just Harrison Ingram. It's just like a mixture of all of them.
Bro, okay. So real quick, before we get into the Southeast Division and players, a pretty thin division in terms of players who could really, really dramatically help the Kings. I think some intriguing names here, but no like major stars here, I don't think. But we'll get into that. Real quick, before we do that, though, you know how much I love an animal fact.
Uh-oh.
Or things to do with animals. Nature is just fascinating to me. Give me a good nature doc and I'm in. Don't recommend them. I have them all bookmarked already. There was a video of a man in New Zealand belly flopping onto a killer whale who was swimming by their boat with a baby whale with a calf.
No.
and he belly flops onto this whale and is all proud of himself. He got fined $600. He's lucky he didn't die. Like, what an insane thing to do. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Move away. A, don't mess with the wildlife. You're in their home.
Yep.
Don't touch. Don't get caught. If you want to be over there and you have an underwater camera and you're trying to take pictures, stay a distance away, though. Not for your own safety, but for the you wouldn't want somebody pulling up to you and poking and body slamming you and going, oh, I touched him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Nope.
Anyways, the guy was fined $600. I'm surprised it didn't come with jail time. I wouldn't mess with a killer whale at all. Not even a little bit.
No. No. Especially not one with a baby.
No.
No.
Hell no.
You, like, the guy's playing with so much fire.
Bro, they fight sharks. And you think you're 5'10", 230 pounds going to do something to that whale? Get out of here. If that whale wanted to, it could launch you to Jupiter, dog.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wild.
Anyways. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to join the show. That's the Farmer's Dog Talk Line. A healthy life starts with healthy food. Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, thoughts on killer whales?
Hey, Kyle, James. Thoughts on who?
Killer whales, orcas.
Yeah, I stay away from them, but we need killer whales because I'm petrified of sharks.
That's a great call, Mitch.
Please.
Great call, Mitch. All right, what do you got for us? Yes.
I love to have Corey. It's a conundrum because I like McLean too. I hear there's Atlanta's interested in maybe trading one. Would they have enough ammunition? Is this draft is pretty good? It looks to me, and I liked what you told yesterday. The guy from Grizzlies alone costs money. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but they want to play center. I would love to have
Santi Aldama.
Basically, you can never have too many. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it's just I was giving you the name. Go ahead, Mitch. You're cooking.
And you can never have enough quarterbacks or shortstops. You draft if you have two big guys playing and they can score, more power to you.
Awesome, Mitch. Appreciate your call, buddy. Take care.
Thanks.
I love Mitch.
Did you say go ahead, Mitch? You're cooking, or did you say the B word instead?
No, I said Mitt. I would honest to God, I'm not doing a bit. I would never disrespect anybody like that, okay. Much less the homie.
Okay.
The homie Mitch. Would never, ever, ever do that.
No, I just heard something different.
Not
even
joking.
And I'm like,
yeah, no. So go ahead, Mitch, you're cooking.
Okay, cool.
Trading up to the number one pick. So he's in on Santi Aldama. That, again, we talked about him yesterday with the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Not sure Memphis would be willing to move him, but if they are, that's a call the Kings should be making.
I'm
sure.
At least intrigued by him.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
Sure.
Just calling around. That's it. Howie Roseman with the Eagles does this, and it's like stuff of legend. Howie Roseman, GM of the Eagles. I don't want to say consensus top GM in football. One of the two or three best GMs in football. And one of the things he does is he will just call teams about their best players. He'll like call the Niners and go, yeah, hey, Fred Warner available for a second round pick? No? Okay. Just checking. And just call. I think Monty should be doing that for guys just like Santi Aldama.
Yeah.
Just, hey, is he available for 13? No. Okay. All right. Just checking.
Just checking.
Like just
why
checking
not?
In.
Why not?
Just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Opening doors.
You just know that it'll show up the next day is like, oh.
The other, and by the way, if you're on YouTube or Twitch, you'll see a comment on the screen right now that is a Mitch from New Jersey quote transcribed by our guy Dave Garcia. That's just going to stay up for the whole show.
Okay.
That needs to be on a shirt. That's an all-time quote.
Yeah.
Killer whales. I stay away from them. Same, dog.
That's right.
Me and Mitch are simpatico.
I got that energy as well.
So, he also asked about trading up for the number one pick. Because we talked about, they were talking to these guys. Is there a chance they move up into the top three? But there's a, I don't hate the idea of, hey, if you identify a player that you believe is going to be a superstar, perennial All-NBA guy, then go get him. But A, I don't know if that player's in this draft. And B, there's a financial issue for that with the Kings too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the top pick in this year's draft is scheduled to make $11 million, and you got to make sure that that player is worth $11 million. I mean, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I'm off. The first pick in this year's draft is, oh, it's even worse. The first pick in the 2024-25 NBA draft is scheduled to make $13.236 million. The second pick, $11.8 million. The third pick, $10.6 million. The fourth pick, $9.6 million, $8.6 million, $7.9 million. So the Kings, that's where we kind of, like the 13th pick in this year's draft, mm-hmm. That's a lot of money, $4.9 million.
Oof. You could get like a solid rotation player for $4.9 million.
Yeah, that's... I believe.
Are you having a revelation on air right now?
Yeah, like again, like I've talked about this, like it's tough. If these numbers are correct, and I'm at a very, very reliable website, so mm-hmm. I'd be very shocked if these numbers weren't correct.
Or at least very, very close.
Yeah, well, this is a website where they wouldn't be very close. They would be like spot on to like, because it's $13,236,360. Like it's based off a percentage of the luxury tax, salary cap.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
that makes sense.
Man, that's a lot of money. And plus, you can give, I believe it's plus 15%. Like you can give like a bonus higher than what it is.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, like if I'm not mistaken. So like a salary slot of $4.9 million is a lot for the 13th pick in the draft.
Yeah, for a player who may or may not play for you this year.
Yeah, and
if
that's
you're
where,
if you're the Kings.
Again, that's where I started to talk about, like, what is it worth, like, if you're going to draft at this position or this position. Like, some of these players that might go in the top three, in year four, you might be paying, I don't know, like, a lot. Like, you figure sure. 8% raises on that much money, you're looking at 13.2 in year one, 14.4, 14.5 in year mm-hmm. two. And it just keeps going up from there.
Yeah.
So by year four, you're looking at like $16-17 million.
Man.
That player better be able to play.
Yeah, that's a contributor.
Yeah.
All right, let's get away from the draft. Let's go to the Southeast Division, where the Magic of Orlando, the Miami Heat, the Atlanta Hawks, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Washington Wizards all reside. That's a rough division. Woof. We're going to go team by team and identify players on each of those teams that the Kings could or should try and go get in either free agency or via trade. First up, the Orlando Magic. The best of these teams this year, anyway. They took the Cavs to 7 games. Probably should have won that series. I think the Magic are probably a better team than the Cavs, but anyways. The first name up here is a name I brought up before. We've talked about him a little bit. This is a potential bench upgrade, and it's Gary Harris, who has been around for what feels like a million years.
I thought so too, and then I looked at it, and I think he's only 29. I was surprised at where he's at. Like, look, Gary Harris has been a starter for most of his career, and, you know, he's had injury problems and everything else, but for me, he's a guy that I kind of, like, I've always liked his game. There's questions about whether he can hold up. He'll be 30 in September. But even that is really surprising. I mean, he started 443 games in his career. If you got into a situation where you traded multiple players and you started to have like a gap at what might be a starter, or let's say you just flushed it out and you traded a bunch of players, and next thing you know, Keon Ellis is not just your starter, but he's realistically your only true player with any experience at that position, then a guy like Gary Harris would make sense to me. Like, as a, like, yeah. a low-budget, like, low-risk, hey, we need you to help out for a couple of years. Let's do a 2-year deal and, you know, like, $6 to $8 million a year. Let's, you know, sort of Trey Lyles money. Let's just help us get through while we're either figuring else something else out, or we're letting Keon Ellis develop.
Yeah, I think you'd be okay with that. I think ideally he's probably coming off the bench for you.
Yeah,
in an ideal world. But yeah, I like Gary Harris.
Yeah,
like he's a just solid veteran player.
Yeah, I kind of put him in the same category. Maybe not as good as Gary Trent Jr. You know, like if the Kings needed to go out and get a guy who could start or come off the bench. like it would make sense to go and like play in that pool if
yes.
you came to a realization that you're trading, you know, again, you say you miss out on Monk and he goes elsewhere, but also that you need to trade Kevin Huerter in some other deal.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, Keon
you just need
Ellis.
Guards.
Yeah, you're looking at Keon Ellis and you're looking at Colby Jones as your only two remaining, you know, shooting guards, then that's where I would go, okay, can you go out and get somebody who's at least been a starter, been someone who, you know, shoots 37% from three for their career type deal?
Definitely. A name we've talked about a ton, really going back to last offseason, Jonathan Isaac.
Mm.
Fascinating player. He's got 1 year, $17.4 million left on his deal. He has had a very hard time staying healthy, but you saw this year in a bench role where he was limited in his minutes, he could be a force. Floor stretching, shot blocking five. I think just kind of the prototypical modern five when you talk about floor spacing and running and being able to protect the rim.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I think there's going to be some people who have some problems with him off the court. And B, the much larger issue from the Kings' perspective, he's not been able to stay on the court. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And that's I think, probably where it starts and ends in with Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like a year ago, I would have said, no way ever, I'm not touching Jonathan Isaac with a 10-foot pole. But at this point, he's got 1 year at 17.4. If it were a limited, you know, like a deal where you're trading away more salary to bring him back in for 1 year, I could see it. Like if you squint, you can kind of go, okay, I want to see what happens. But this is a guy who played 58 games this year. He missed 164 consecutive games. He sat out both the 2020-21 and 21-22 seasons. The next year, he played 11 games. The year before that, he played 34 games. His rookie season, he played 27. I haven't done the math, but I'm almost positive. Actually, I'm pretty sure he's missed more games in his career than he's played.
And, how many games did you just say he missed?
In the 2 years he missed, that's like we're talking about 82 game season. That's 164 games.
Yeah, and he's only played 205.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He has played over 1,000 minutes once.
Oh.
In his career.
Yeah.
And that was his second season as a 21-year-old. He played 1996.
The talent is there, and I'm gonna make this comparison with him. He reminds me a lot of Andre Kirilenko.
Yeah.
It's like the offensive game can be sloppy at times. He can hit a three, but he's not a pure, you know, 3-point shooter. He did shoot 37.5% this year, but it's only on 1.9 attempts, and his mid-range game is a little off. He can score around the basket, but it's a little off. So there are some things that he does, but that I love, and the defensive side, he's spectacular, and I think he would look really, really good alongside like a Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis. The problem is, like, you're rolling the dice so much on a player who, number one, would be a short-term contract.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the risk isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, what are you getting that, are you going to be able to lock him up? How much money is he going to want? You're right, he does have some off-the-court stuff, which is a little out there.
He's a little different with his views.
He
for
is,
sure.
Yeah. He doesn't mind espousing them. Yeah.
No. But again, if you personally are out on Jonathan Isaac, not you, James, but you, listener, are like, I'm out on Jonathan Isaac for that, then fine. I see Ramsey in the chat basically saying that, want no parts of that.
Then, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you. But just from a basketball standpoint, this is one of those things where he's so cheap that I don't think the Magic are probably going to be itching to get rid of him. And he was still effective for them this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think I don't want to have the headache of, hey, he missed the first half of the season, but the second half he was really good, and now we have to decide to pay him. And man, the ceiling is super duper high, but can he stay on the court? We think he can. Hey, I don't want that headache, man. I don't want to have to be the team that makes that decision.
I get you. And he'll be 27 in October, which is crazy. I mean, he's the pick after De'Aaron Fox in the 2017 NBA draft. And if you compared how many games those two guys have played, how many minutes they've played, you'd be like, wait, what? They're the same draft?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same draft.
Same one.
The thing I would say, like, I'll kind of leave it at this. Like, if the Kings got to a position where they're like, hey, look, we need a change up here, and let's say Orlando misses out on Klay Thompson, and you could trade Kevin Huerter, who is like Klay Thompson super light,
mm-hmm.
for Jonathan Isaac and give up a 2-year contract for a 1-year contract and just switch the type of player, then maybe I'm listening, but sure. I don't know. That's tough, but you could understand where, like, in a world where that might make sense mm-hmm. for both teams.
Sure. So. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I don't, from a basketball standpoint, that makes sense, but I get if somebody just doesn't want to deal
with
it.
It's totally out on him. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue. Mo Wagner. He has a 1-year, $8 million team option this offseason.
Yeah. He's
for Franz's brother.
He's one of those. He's like the Zach Collins of Orlando. He's a guy that you just want to punch in the face. He's a super hustle guy, and I wouldn't mind having a guy like that on the roster. It's just like, where does he fit? And, you know, there's a point where I think he was probably a little bit better. Like, he projected as maybe a little bit better 3-point shooter. But I just, you know, again, they're going to have a crowded front line. Whether or not they want to bring back Franz's brother is going to be up to them. But he's actually made himself into an NBA player. He averaged 10.9 points this year, 4.3 rebounds. He can pass a little. He's not a huge shot blocker, shot 33% from three. Not a horrible, horrible idea.
No, especially for if you can get him for relatively cheap.
Yeah, you're looking at like...
Here's a question. Do you think he's an upgrade over Alex Len?
I think he's certainly different than Alex Len. Mm-hmm. And if I were to bring in Mo Wagner, I'd probably bring back Alex Len just as like a third center to in case.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I like Mo Wagner again. He's just 27 years old. He does play hard. He plays mm-hmm. really, really hard.
Yeah.
And
I think you could get him into a system like Sacramento, and I think you could expand on some of his passing.
Yeah.
I think he could be a pretty effective player in that way. That's an interesting name for sure. Just a real quick before we move on to the... we're going to do the Hawks next. Before we move on to the Hawks, somebody in the chat said, is there a perfect player out there for the Kings? And the answer for me is no. Every single player that we talk about that they could realistically pursue, to me there's always going to be some issue, whether it's financial, short-term or long-term, whether it's age, whether it's injury stuff, whether it's he doesn't shoot it great, or he's a little rough on defense. To me, there's not like a, wow, that guy, if they get him, that is a slam dunk offseason.
Yeah, if we're talking about this step below All-Star and like All-NBA type guys, mm-hmm. the only guy that I think jumps out to every Kings fan is Mikal Bridges. And even he has a tendency to take a backseat too often. But that might be okay. That mm-hmm. might be okay on a team like the Kings. Yeah. But like the defensive prowess, the length, the athleticism, good teammate, all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good shooter. All right, that's fair. So Mikal Bridges, to answer your question.
Yeah, but again, somebody offered him 5 first-round picks for him 2 years ago, and exactly. they said no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see where the Nets are headed. I can't imagine they would go hire a new coach and then get rid of all the dudes that they traded for 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make a ton of sense. Let's do the Hawks before we get out of here. Okay. Clint Capella, he has 1 year left, $22.3 million remaining. I think this one is interesting because I don't hold Clint Capella in a super high regard. I think he's been, obviously he's gotten bags as an NBA player. He's a mm-hmm. good NBA center. I don't know how well he fits with the Kings.
Well, it's funny because he's been tied to the Kings before.
Right.
Like, but probably before Sabonis. But if you're going to look at Jonas Valanciunas and you're going to hear Jared Allen mentioned with the Kings, then that's Clint Capella, 1 year, $22 million. Like, he blocks shots. He's great in the pick defender. And roll. He rebounds. He's a good defender, I think, more than just a shot blocker.
Yes.
Like, overall, I like what Clint Capella brings. He does have an injury issue. That he kind of brings with him, and he's 30. That's not old by NBA standards, but We've kind of seen his stats taper off in Atlanta, and he just kind of is what he is. That's pretty solid. I mean, he's a double guy, 11.5 points, 10.6 rebounds, 1.5 blocks per game. It's a blocks that you're like, rim protection. That guy, could he play alongside Sabonis? I don't know. He doesn't shoot the three at all.
No, he's going to hang out in a dunker spot.
Yeah,
he'll run a pick and roll. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of where his game is limited. What about, this is Sadiq Bey. Tore his ACL in March.
Mm-hmm.
He is a restricted free agent?
He's a restricted free agent, yeah. He's a guy who's going into the year as a restricted free agent. He does not have a contract right now. He probably will miss the first like 2 months of the season, maybe.
Yeah, maybe more depending.
Yeah.
Yeah, recovery is always different for everybody with ACLs. But in a vacuum, Sadiq Bey, as he is when healthy, I love the idea. I am a big Sadiq Bey guy. I think you'd slot him into your starting lineup. I think you could start at the three or the four and you'd feel really, really good about it.
Yeah, I've always liked him. And I know it's a running gag. Everyone knows like he's been one of my guys that I've always kind of put up there as he would be a great fit. I thought he was a great fit in the draft that year. And then, you know, when he was in Detroit and they were peddling him and would Atlanta give up 5 second round picks for him? Like, he's a guy that you would like on your roster, you know, again, 6'8", long wingspan, shoot the three ball, aggressive, you know.
Well, when the Warriors traded, that's who the Warriors got in the James Wiseman deal. Mm. And then they traded him to Atlanta for the 5 seconds. And then they took those seconds and swapped him for Gary Payton the second.
Mm.
And when they got Sadiq Bey, it was like, wow, great move. Love that. Love that addition.
Yeah.
He was on the team for 3 minutes.
Warriors legend, Sadiq Bey.
Yeah, right up there with, Jose Calderon? I think was on the Warriors for half a second. Even with the injury, even with the ACL, I would be so in on Sadiq Bey. I'm there.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's certainly going to have diminished financial, like, he's probably looking at a mid-level exception money. So that's just whether or not they'll match for that. And that's tough.
Yeah, I don't.
The mid-level's a little under $13
million. This was a big discussion point with the, I think it was the Southwest. Just, I don't know what this team is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the Hawks are doing. Are the Hawks like, yeah, Sadiq Bey is a guy that we want as part of this team for the next 5 years? Or are they going to blow it all the way up, tear it down to the studs, and try and rebuild? I have no idea.
And I think financially, they're going to be like in a pinch here. And Sadiq Bey's injury kind of puts them in a bad spot, especially when they have a bunch of forwards. They got a bunch of other guys that they've kind of committed to, whether it's Hunter or Okongwu. Like there's a bunch of guys on that roster. Johnson. Why am I drawing a blank?
Jalen Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. So they've got other players that maybe they'll value more. But the Hawks, like, and I think we should point out, like, when we're going through these lists, we're looking at guys who are on short-term deals, guys who might be free agents, guys who might be available. Like, I could throw Bogdan Bogdanovic in this. We didn't throw, like, Trey Young in this or anything crazy. We're looking at players that might be available, you might be able to go get, whether it's your mid-level, your biannual exception, or a low-interest trade type deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. All right. We have the Heat to get to still. We have the Hornets. And we have the Wizards to get to as well. We will continue this discussion coming up in the second hour right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And that's what the voice is about to tell you right now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.